Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe Humphrey, and I am joined today by Robbie Payne.
And apparently my stomach. I don't hope that didn't pick up, it's ready for some Jimmy John's.
Wow.
Like I felt
Yikes.
It.
Yikes. Oh. I saw you grabbed. I was like, okay, is he going to throw up all over the podcast table?
that was loud.
And Gabriel Bringers.
I am here. I'm hungry also, but I will keep my comments to myself.
You know, it's our Friday news roundup, and you know, it's still weird in the world, so we are still a bit, I don't know, would you call it slap happy? I don't know. Whatever it is, we are happy to be here, and we are ready to dig in to our top stories of this week. And we were sitting here going through the notes, and I love whenever we're jotting down things, and it's just like an assortment of things. I think that people like that. I don't know. I know that I like that when I listen to other podcasts. So let us know if you like whenever it's random or if you just want like two cohesive big like things. I kind of like talking about
five
different stories, you know. I go back and forth. I like long form, just like one subject type stuff. But
yeah, because I think that's like the one of the benefits of podcasting in general is that we get the opportunity to really, I don't know, share the way that we talk through some of this stuff in the office, like personally.
Yeah.
You know? So exactly. we have YouTube that's just very concise and tight, and like it. I don't know, for a lot of people that have never done either public speaking or that type of communication, it's easy to think that it would be harder to create content that is longer. It is not. It is far more difficult to get the same point across concisely.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking, you know, preaching in the past and stuff like that, like learning how to concisely get to the point. I remember thinking like, oh man, I got to fill this time. It's not about that. It's about figuring out how to make the point.
Boil things down. Yeah.
Distilled communication. And I remember watching that Nerdwriter video about comedians. He was talking about Louis C.K. specifically, and how comedy,
all of,
like stand-up.
All of this, it's mine. Everything now. You've worked for, it's mine now.
But yeah, Louis C.K. is a perfect example of the type of comedian that is good at his craft, like a master of his craft. And I know he's mentioning him. He's been accused, or maybe did a lot of the stuff that I don't know.
I don't know the full story. I do know that he came out and. I don't know. I think he's back touring again and like just owned it maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly.
Like, he put like a stand-up on his website or something that you can purchase for a couple bucks. Anyway, I'm not talking about him specifically. Like John Mulaney's a perfect example of this. Like when you listen to him speak, like good stand-up comics are masters of distilling the English language. They know how to control it and manipulate it. And so I say all of that to say, you know, sometimes it feels like podcasting is a time where we don't have to worry with that as much.
Yeah,
we get to just communicate the way that humans actually communicate. Yeah. Like humans don't do stand up. We don't stand up there, like stand next to each other and deliver stand up punchlines to one another. We talk. We just work through things. And so that's what we do outside of YouTube, outside of the website. And it feels like we get to kind of do that here. So that's why I'm kind of a fan of the long form stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, like we've always said that the podcast is a platform for us to have conversations with our audience that we literally sit in here and have. I mean, these are the things that we talk about as we're working through the duet, for example. I mean, we're going to talk about that first because we've had it in the office and yeah, there's people are interested in it and there's some things that are weird. And so we're sitting and just having those conversations. Like we, that's one of the things I love about coming to the office, you know, right now, you know, in the pandemic that we're in, you know, I was, we were all there for a while, you know, working at the house and not really being at the office. And we've kind of slowly started to transition back. You know, you guys having kids, you know, the office is a productivity place for you guys. You know, you all need to come here. For me, I've kind of gone back and forth, but through all of this, I've realized how much value there is in that collaborative, like just talking things out when we're thinking through an article or thinking through a video or whatever. Like, you can do that stuff on video chat and that's fine, but it's not the same, you know? And so,
these
conversations that we have, you know, like you said, they're not, a lot of times we're just kind of sitting and talking through it and we're coming up with ideas as we're kind of working through it. You know, we've got a new concept that we've been talking about this whole week. I don't know when you first brought up the new concept that we're thinking about doing.
Oh, it came along right around the same time as that phone.
Yeah. Oh man, did we get to talk about that? Did we talk about that on the podcast last week? When did we talk about that? I thought we gave bet. Oh, that was in the YouTube member video when we gave our bets of how long Robbie, because we did an unboxing of a phone on our YouTube member. Fun little just kind of behind the scenes unboxing of the Asus ROG Phone 2. Robbie had purchased it because he's all in on mobile gaming. If that maybe gives you a hint of this other concept we're talking about. Can't talk too much yet, but the phone was unboxed and in there, you know, Gabe and I were just like, all right, we're going to put in our bets how long this phone's going to last. So how long will Robbie keep this phone?
So one of you said like,
Gabe was
like 3 week kind of thing.
I said 13 days. Because I thought...
Oh, you said 6 days, didn't you?
Nine days.
Okay. I thought you were convinced enough of the gaming aspect of your like life. You know, like... You,
right.
What am I trying to say here? That made no sense.
No, I get you. I've come to terms.
You've come to terms with mobile gamer.
Right. The use of my phone, if I actually look at my use, the majority of my battery life goes to games.
Yeah.
Right.
It does. Yeah. And I'm done trying to like rationalize that or make excuses for that or act as if that's not that big of a deal. Like it's just a side thing. Like I really do enjoy playing mobile games and I'm done feeling like I need to legitimize that in any sort of way. I'm done feeling like I need to, transition gameplay over to Stadia at some point. Cause like I got away from console gaming for a long, long time. Consoles, PCs, all that stuff. I just didn't mess with them, for time constraints, for just a myriad of things. And then you introduce professional careers and spouses and kids, and that just keeps getting pushed further and further back. Well, now mobile gaming is taking this upswing where it's not just that we have a few games available, like,
and they're really good.
Yeah, they're insanely great, and massive amounts of people are flocking to them. Like the numbers are outstanding.
So, what makes a game really fun? What makes playing games like really fun?
I mean, it's just the experience. It's being able to play with people.
Growing up, playing with your friends. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Some people love playing, you know, platform games or adventure games where it's a solo mission and they just go in and they just do their thing. And that takes the place of like watching a movie or something like that. And that's just not me. That's not the way that I grew up enjoying games. We played a few that way, but it always ended up being the ones you could play multiplayer on. Like that's where the massive fun was. And now that we have 4G and 5G connectivity,
PUBG mobile player base that we were talking about?
50 million plus. That was in July of last
year. That's every day that many people are logging on? Or is that like a month? They're active users.
It's hard to get for sure number. Yeah. I think it was 50 million plus active users, and I can't remember the number of millions of active like people that log in and play every day.
Daily.
Yeah. Versus 500,000 daily peak right now for PUBG.
Right.
The desktop. I mean,
just bonkers. Dude.
From what I read, it said 50 million, but I can't imagine 50 million. I don't know. Maybe they do.
But I think
50 million people log in worldwide to play that game.
That's
every
part
day.
Of the appeal of the of PUBG Mobile, though, and mobile games in general, because I used to be a big on Source games. I played Half-Life and Day of Defeat. I used to play Day of Defeat for hours. Like I would, I would log 14, 16 hours a day if I had some free time. I loved it, keyboard and mouse. But I don't do that anymore. but I love playing PUBG Mobile because I can flip out if I'm stuck somewhere and I, you know, we, how many times have we sat at the airport?
Get a match in?
Get a match in on the plane, on the tarmac because the flight's delayed. Hey, we can get a match in.
We've even tried.
We have played on a plane.
Not great.
In the air. Not great. Not great. But it worked.
Not great.
Yeah. So there's just something about that because PUBG and now PUBG on Stadia, it looks great. It's awesome. I would as of right now, I would not pick that over playing PUBG Mobile.
No, and see, that's the thing. I felt like I needed to legitimize that option.
Right.
Like,
right.
Oh, well, you know, maybe if I get more time and Stadia becomes more available and like, and something, I don't know, something clicked in my brain. Like, I don't have to do that. Right. I don't have to make apologies for that. This is, you know, my gaming platform. This is my console, my phone or tablet or my console. And I'm completely 100% fine with that now.
Yeah. So, so Robbie bought an Asus ROG phone. You know,
so I did what I do.
You were like,
okay,
I'm
if
going
I'm
going
to do this, I'm just, let me dive.
Typical, right?
Jump in.
Typical.
And
you find
I'm
a new
think
thing.
About it for about 7 minutes.
Then buy it.
And I'm going to buy it. So I did.
Yeah.
And overall, the phone itself, I mean, it's huge. It was a big, big phone.
It's a slab.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a slab of metal and glass.
Really big phone. And it looks like a gamer phone. And it's fast. And it's overclocked. And it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. 855 plus, I think, Snapdragon in it. 120 hertz OLED screen. Trigger buttons on the top shoulder. So you can just map those. Mappable
18,
keyboard.
18 USB-C ports.
No, that's on the dock. It comes with
fan. The phone has three, right?
It has three. Yeah. One of them, technically, you can't use for anything other than Asus's peripherals for it. But, you know, headphone, microphone jack. Like, it just, I mean, it on the surface, you look at it and it's like, man, if you want to play games,
yeah,
this is
it.
Clearly the best option. Yeah. So the first day, you know, using it, it was like, man, I think this is... Like, I'm going to stick with this thing, you know, because I love having these triggers.
Gabe, how many times have we heard that?
Yeah, for a brief, fleeting moment, I thought maybe it might happen.
I really...
But then I was like, no. And here's my reasoning behind 9 days, because in most cases, except for the iPhone, in most cases,
was a 12-hour turn, yeah. Baby.
Robbie will get something, and he will commit to a certain period of time. That way he can say... In an argument or a discussion.
That he tried it.
I tried. Yeah. I gave it a chance. I worked with this device for a week. I worked from a tablet for a week. I gave it.
Right. Right.
So my thought was 1 week of use and then a couple days because the box sat in the office and he just forgot to take it to FedEx and drop it off.
Right.
Or Jody didn't come pick it up. So that was my 9 days. That's where I came up with my 9 days.
So it turned out to be three. It's still here.
Is it three? It's only been two.
No, it was...
I don't know. Maybe today's three.
It was three. We can go back and look at the YouTube video. I think we posted that on Wednesday. Yeah. So okay. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. So I think there should be an asterisk here.
Oh, my God.
For these, for devices that physically hurt you. If it hurts you, I should get a pass. And it hurt me.
It hurt me.
Not emotionally, physically hurt me. Okay, so it's an overclocked processor, which means it's going to get warm. It's got a vent on the back of the thing, for crying out loud. So I just figured it'll get warm, but it has a way to dissipate it. The thing comes with a fan, clip-on USB-C fan on the back. And I was like, oh, that's just a nice touch.
I wish it was water-cooled. That would have been awesome.
That's what and one of the reviewers said that before I bought it. I watched like 10 reviews.
Yeah, like,
and one of them said, you know, it'd be nice if they included something like that in the device.
Yeah.
I don't think it would just be nice. It feels like it's probably necessary.
Like, it would actually be, yeah. It would make the phone usable.
Because, like, so night one, I was playing Fortnite with the kids. And, you know, Fortnite on Android isn't great. It's not coded well. So it takes
which
up
is just
so
a, which
much.
Which is an epic, wow. I don't want to say epic fail,
epic.
But yeah.
Epic.
But come on, epic, man. There's a lot of Androids out there.
I know.
Fix it, dude.
Well, they just now got it in the Play Store, technically, because they were... Anyway, so it isn't great. And it's a shame because it's fantastic on iOS. But I don't know what it would be like on iOS on a lesser device. I'm playing on the iPad Mini that has... Now it's not the latest, but it's an A12, I think, Bionic chip.
Yeah.
That thing's a beast. So... It's not fair maybe to say that it's not coded properly, whatever, but playing it on the ROG phone was fine. Like, it I could, I had to mess with the settings. It was weird. I had to turn the settings down to like low settings, but then turn 3D resolution all the way up and frame rate. Their settings are strange. But it looked good. Things were rendering really well and it was nice and smooth. So started playing a little bit and it's like, man, this thing feels a little warm. So I slapped the fan on and I thought for a minute, like, I remember I told you, like, I think it's, you know, my hand feels kind of cold and it's blowing hot air. And there's that effect in your brain. If I don't know if you've never done this before, but it's completely freaky.
What is that? You get the hot dogs or something?
You can do hot dogs. So if you cook, you can just do like warm a hot dog, but then take a frozen hot dog right next to it and touch it. Your brain will immediately think it's burning you.
Yeah.
Because either way, if you go to excess on either side, it triggers whatever thing in your brain that takes that nerve ending response.
Right.
And then just goes to whichever side it wants to. So if you touch a warm hot dog next to a frozen hot dog, because that freezing is to the extreme, it also thinks that the hot's to the extreme too. And you can tell yourself whatever you want, but if you touch them at the same time, you will have the response that you're burning yourself. And so, I thought I was never doing this.
So the ROG phone.
it was at the Children's Museum in Louisville. They had a thing. It was just a coil. It was two big metal copper coils.
One was
almost freezing cold, and the other one was just kind of like, run the tap water warm.
Right.
So you could touch the warm one and be like, cool, I know that's not hot, but if you touch between the two and touch both, it's like, oh God, it's burning me.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that crazy? It's bizarro town.
So you're telling us the ROG phone was like a hot dog.
Yeah, basically. So don't get it.
Searing hot dog.
So I thought that's what was happening. I thought, well, maybe my brain,
I think Robbie does all of this just for our entertainment.
So I thought that's what was happening because, you know, you hold a phone up and play, your fingertips kind of get cold from blood coming down from them, yada, yada. So I thought my hands are just cold and this is warm enough that it's tricking my brain to thinking it's burning me. It was actually like scalding me a little bit on my pinkies. So you hold a phone, your pinkies tend to touch the bottom. Well, the bottom railing's metal. That's where the vent is as well. So clearly that's where most of the heat is coming
down through there. Yeah.
So I just was like, eh, whatever. It's Fortnite. You know, just got to be careful when I'm running that and not crank everything up. So the next day, I turn all the X mode and all that crap off on the phone. And I played PUBG, I think, one round. And I was like, okay, I think it's okay. And then yesterday when we played, it was like I had to move my hand. I couldn't put my pinkies on the phone. I couldn't touch it. It was so hot. And I kept holding it all weird while we were playing. I didn't say anything because I'm just like, oh my God, here we go. I knew what was happening. Like I felt it. I felt the wheels begin to turn. Like, where's the box? Where's the packaging? Do I have the written? Like, can I get return? How am I going to do blah, blah, blah? What would I go to? Am I going to go? You know, like,
the process had begun.
But we're also playing in the middle of a match. You know, like,
this is all going on in your brain.
Yes. So like, I'm thinking this all like, tech on it. I can't believe what was the
Inside Out movie you were telling me about?
100%. Yeah.
It was like,
oh, yeah.
Fear. My little fear guy was just going, oh, my God, he's turning all the dials and anger's like bumping in every once in a while. Like, I can't believe this is happening again. This is so stupid.
Full throttle ahead. Return it.
And disgust was in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I played a few more games with it. It did the exact same thing. I had everything turned off. I wasn't like crank it to the max or anything like that. So without putting the fan on it, I mean, the thing within 20 minutes is too hot to touch.
Yeah.
Like imagine a boiling cup of coffee, like a ceramic mug, as hot as that gets, where you're like, oh, I can't hold that for more than a couple seconds. That hot. And I'm just like,
is this like a common thing? Do people say this online about this one?
I didn't look it up because I don't care.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Right. Because I'm like, using the device the way that I'm going to use it.
Right.
I'm even turning it down. I'm taking away some of the things I bought it for and trying to use it. And I'm like, man, this is, and I'm afraid to put it like, stick it in it because I took it out of the TPU case because the case was getting so hot. I'm like, is it going to melt the side of this case or?
Holy crap.
And I'm just like, man, this, nope.
It's I just wonder, like, I mean, gosh, surely as a gaming phone, like they obviously with the fan that's even
they're
built in,
like, hey, put the fan on.
Yeah.
And it comes with a bumper, this weirdo bumper case that I was like, that's weird. I wonder why. That's exactly why. Because it covers part of those metal parts at the bottom.
That's crazy. Did you ever figure out what those other little pieces were?
I didn't.
Okay.
Don't care.
That was it. Those were the things.
Those were what you needed to install. Those are pinky guards.
There were little fins that had adhesive on the back of them.
It was literally so you could rest your pinkies.
Yeah, you put it between your pinkies and the exhaust ports to keep your
And it just got, it was just too much. And so in custom fashion, I go and take my Pixel 4 over because I've been interested in, I'm like, if I'm in the middle of like swapping phones and stuff, it's go ahead in time to go ahead and do this. And so went over to T-Mobile and used my jump on demand and went to the OnePlus 8. And
so what are they doing? They come out to the parking lot now? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
And so, they
see Robbie pull up. They're like, yeah. They're like, oh, there he
got
is.
Got him.
There he is.
And so,
hey, go ahead and grab the new OnePlus. He's probably going to get that.
Yeah. What's the newest phone we got? That's what he's getting. Okay, cool.
And so I switched to the OnePlus 8. And, you know, less than 24 hours in, I was telling the guys here that apart from a Pixel phone, this is the tightest software integration and hardware in a phone I've ever used.
Are they still calling it Oxygen OS?
Is that their thing.
But man, it is so, I don't even want to call it stock Android. Yeah. It's more of the way Google has envisioned Android for Pixel phones.
With tweaks.
If
little small tweaks.
Very tiny. Yeah. And tweaks that work. Like nothing in it feels half-baked. And granted, I'm coming from that Asus phone where half of it felt half-baked. Yeah. I mean, there were just little weird inconsistencies that I was like, I'm just going to swallow these. It's fine.
Now the truth comes out. He was also concerned about the software.
No. I noticed them, and I'm like,
no, he
but
just
I'm not,
accepted that it right. wasn't going to be great.
Like, it's fine. It's just, I'm not going to get the
Robbie
Pixel experience
here. Robbie can't just
here.
Accept it. It clearly. That only goes so long.
No,
that would last until it starts
burning me. Yeah. Yeah, the minute you start burning me, all bets are off. Unless it was a perfect phone.
I had already resolved to not go get the OnePlus 8 because if I'm going to get it, I want to get the Pro. But the one I want, you can't buy right now because it's out of stock. And then he comes in and is bragging about how awesome the 8 is. And the T-Mo store is 2 miles from here. I could literally go get one right now and it wouldn't cost me a dime. And I'm like,
I'm not kidding. Like it.
I mean, what does the Pro get you that one does
much
not?
Much better cameras.
Yeah, so much you're better get cameras, 120 hertz display.
More storage.
Yeah.
Same processors, though, right?
Yeah. Same internal processors.
RAM the same, though? Did they bump the RAM in the Pro?
There is a bump.
What's that one?
8? 128.
Yeah, so it's the maxed out one, the $1,000 one's 12.
Yeah. Okay.
So 12, 256, I think.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for performance reasons, I would say that's the Pro would not be worth it if that's what you're looking at.
No, but it's that cool blue, man.
The blue.
The screen's a tad bit bigger on the Pro.
Yeah.
What is the other main?
I know a lot of the crazy part is the camera's the big thing.
The 8, it feels like a refined version of my 7 Pro.
It does.
It's just slightly shorter, just a hair, but it's thinner. It's more discreet and sleek. And man, it's
the
just,
screen doesn't roll off quite as much, right?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I know usually when I pick up a phone, if we're talking, you know, not whether it's going to burn me or not, or you know, I'm looking for gaming stuff on it. Like, if I'm
because that's something you consider when you go buy a phone. Hey, how much
burn am I going to get on this?
Hey, Genius Bar guy, is this going to be like second degree burns?
What's the burn rate on this? Right.
So, we take that aside and just go, hey, you know, you get a phone that you're going to use for phone stuff. Yeah. I know within 2 hours of setting up, like, I go through the setup process and start working with the phone a little bit. I know whether or not I'm going to be able to deal with this phone. I'm going to be able to deal with this phone.
Yeah.
Like, and it feels so much more refined than the 7T that I tried. Like the 7T, I knew right out of the gate, like,
there's that one thing
and like all that stuff's gone to the point that it would not surprise me one bit. And this probably will never come out, even if it's true. If OnePlus didn't call up Google, like Google works with Samsung and these other OEMs and says, you know, hey, we'll help you as much as we can, blah, blah, blah. If OnePlus didn't just say, look, from a software perspective, for the most part, the 98-99% of this thing, we want it to be like Pixels. So help us, you know, take your vision of Android and put it in our phone.
Sure.
Because then they can just focus on the hardware, which they clearly have. Because, oh my God, this phone just feels like a dream.
Stop.
And looks, sorry, but it does. I mean, my God.
What's the color? What do they call that?
Interstellar
glow.
It looks amazing, dude.
Yeah. Don't trust any videos or anything because everybody that's reviewed it said, you know, you can't catch it.
So does this one have the X-ray camera or is it just the Pro?
The Pro is the only one. Yeah.
You know, and there are going to be features that the Pro gets that this won't get.
So good.
But again, for me, it was an upgrade from the 4 XL. It was an upgrade to The 865 processor, which has a much better graphics GPU in it.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade to 5G, and T-Mobile basically flipped the switch, and 5G is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's low band, so it's not a ton faster, but I guarantee you if we all took our phones down to the basement of this building, I'd be the only one still getting a high bandwidth connection. And, you know, the cameras are fine.
There it is right there. There it is.
But I think with the Asus,
they're fine.
I finally got myself to the point where I'm like, I'm not this camera photographer.
Yeah.
And some people are. Some people really love taking photos. It's the way they document all their stuff. Like,
now your wife has a Pixel, correct?
Yes. And like, I don't think I would never tell her to go away from a Pixel,
right?
Because she loves taking photos and doing all that stuff.
That's the
and
thing
like,
that may cause Robbie to keep this phone if he's that happy with everything else. His wife has a Pixel.
Yeah, like
we have an extra Pixel here at the office that its sole purpose is for taking featured images and stuff. So
he
might hang on to this one.
And this isn't a bad... It's not like, oh, this camera is trash.
Yeah.
Even the Asus's phone, like, that camera wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... It's so funny. We've gotten to the point now where cameras have gotten so good, the ones that aren't the absolute best are still miles ahead of anything we had just probably a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, even my 7, if it poor little guy wasn't cracked, the camera... I mean, my wife takes really good pictures with her. She'll send me pictures sometimes, and I'm like, man, did you go buy a Pixel? Because that looks really good.
And eventually, there'll be a G-Cam mod for it anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's a OnePlus. Somebody always goes and makes one. So.
Yeah. We need to get some cool photos of that thing and post it on social. Go follow us on social media, at Chrome Unboxed. Yeah. We'll, every now and then, I'll post stuff and just be like, not a Chromebook, but this is cool. All of this to say... these are the sort of conversations that we have in the office, and this is why we like podcasting. Isn't that how we got started on this whole thing?
Yeah, because this had nothing to do with our podcast.
I'm looking at your notes. That ain't there. We've been talking for 30 minutes.
Haven't even been the number one on the list yet.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So let's talk about something that is on the list here real quick, but it ties in with what we're talking about here, and that's the Pixel 4a. And we'll talk about this, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back. So the 4a... I've kind of been writing about here and there as we've seen some leaks come out. It started with some billboards that Evan Blass tweeted out, and they were basically some mock-ups of a potential beer board.
I thought you were going to say beer barrel.
Dude, I'm going to
here comes some excuses.
My allergies are bothering me.
I can't believe the guy about that. I was coming into the office this morning. I saw a Coors Light truck, and I've never seen this before, but cool advertising. This truck contains 395,000 ounces of, and then it was just a big Coors Light.
Oh, nice.
That's kind of cool.
Hey, good job marketing, guys.
No, it doesn't. Some of it off at some point.
It did. Not anymore.
My allergies are bothering me. But there were some billboards that leaked talking about the price of this phone, and they all said starting at $399.
Correct.
And so that's kind of been... the go-to as I'm writing these other articles. You know, last week, Rick Osterloh, the senior VP of hardware, I do believe is his, something around that.
You know.
Whatever. Their titles are weird. But he tweeted a screenshot of his Earth badge from Fitbit, which means that he had walked or tracked 7,900 steps, which is 79,000. I'm sorry, 79,000 steps, which is equivalent to going around the globe.
No, it'd be like 790 or 7.9 million. Or
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I get 8,000 steps in a day.
There was 79 something in there.
That's a niner. Are you calling from a walkie-talkie? Yeah, it was way more than that. Like,
it had to be like 79
or 700,000.
700. I don't know.
It was a lot of steps. A
lot of steps, and the orientation of his notifications and the resolution or the aspect ratios, more specifically, of the screenshot match what has been leaked about the 4A. So we are all hoping there's been retail packaging that's leaked. Go check the site. Just search 4A. There's a lot out there, and we've kind of just been waiting. And as of yesterday, I think the news leaked that the starting model might be $349,128.
And this is from Stephen Hall, 9to5 Google, and whoever his source or sources are.
Dude, he's got somebody.
Dead on.
Man, before the hardware event, they nailed everything. They had it all laid out. Yeah. So
He had pictures and a full hands-on with the
he
Go.
He had his hands-on. Yeah, he had the Go in his hands before. Before we move on, though, like look at the spacing at the top of this phone. This has a hole punch
exactly,
in the side.
Exactly.
That's
the
exactly
same.
What Osterloh's.
Yeah.
Like that kind of weird spacing, the way that they have it.
The hole punch. The hole punch display.
So the hole punch. Yeah. So the screenshot for this would look similar to the. Yeah. So that confirms that screenshot.
Yeah.
Was
and the aspect ratio being exactly the same because it's a weird kind of. It's a weird. Whatever we figured out it was. What was it? Remember, we went to that one website to figure out the aspect ratio.
Like 18.9 by 9. I don't know.
Whatever. But yeah, 349.
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
And I know it's only $50
heard.
Difference, but man.
But double the storage. Yeah. So he's saying 349 for the 128.
Yeah.
And so now people are like, well, is there just going to be one? Like,
right.
But they mocked stuff up that said starting at.
Yeah.
Who knows? My thought is.
And that was a month and a half ago.
Right.
So those could have been early
that
designs.
That was pre-iPhone SE.
Right.
Is what that was.
They could have tweaked things and.
Now, I have a hard time believing that any company is that ignorant of its competition. Even if you're just following, like, surely you have one person that keeps up with the news around.
All the rumors and
what's
happening.
Yeah, it's not like the iPhone SE came out of nowhere. Everyone knew it was coming, and I think everyone knew that it was going to be priced right around that price. Yeah. So, at first, I was like, oh, this is them going, oh, my God, you know, because the reaction to the iPhone SE has been insane. And I'm sure it is selling like
hotcakes
right now. The numbers are going to be insane when they come in. And so I don't know if it was either being surprised by the SE's popularity or just being surprised or caught off guard with it, period. But maybe they're looking at this going, hey, we're not going to compete with this thing. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe because I don't think anybody knew it was going to have the latest processor in it prior. I think everybody thought maybe it would have like last gen or something like that. So when they came out swinging with that A13 in it, maybe a Google went, uh-oh,
we got to do something.
We've got to shift because we can't offer a phone with a Snapdragon 765 because if you don't know how this works, like Qualcomm chips are expensive. Google has to license that stuff to put in their phones. Yeah. They don't make it. So Apple makes their own chips. So they don't have to deal with any of that crap.
And with the rumors of them producing their own silicon or outsourcing, in-house, but not. It's Samsung. They're producing their own silicon via Samsung. With the rumors of that happening, they're probably willing to take a loss. Or maybe, not
one,
a loss, but at least say, hey, we're willing to forego any profitability to narrow the gap between us and Apple until that happens. Because once that happens, it's a different game.
Right.
You know, they can produce a comparable chip and have a phone that's comparably priced. And then it's a different ballgame.
All of this still, too, raises the question because tons of rumors are still going around that the Pixel 5, with all the people leaving the Pixel team, who knows? But with the Pixel 5... like it's going to be a mid-range phone too. So how does that even work? How do you put a 4A out? Because it's not like this is a low mid-range phone.
No, it's
the 765. I don't know what's the chip in it. Snapdragon 730. They're doing 730.
Yeah,
the 765 just got announced.
That was like 2 days ago. Yeah.
So it's a newer mid-range, higher-end chip. But the 730 that's in this, somebody's already, of course, benchmarked this thing. They have it on video, benchmarking it. AnTuTu scores, which, again, Android benchmarks, especially grain of salt here. But it puts it, performance-wise, just like sheer performance, between the Pixel 3 and Pixel 4. So it's not like this thing's going to be a slouch.
No, not at all.
It's going to be fine.
Joe still uses the Pixel 3a and games, you know, plays PUBG on it. We have another guy here in the office that uses it. No, he has a 4 now, but... I think his wife is on the 3.
Yeah.
I mean, the 840, now see. Yeah, that's 845. 845 in there is plenty good, and you're talking about a bit of a spec bump there.
Yeah.
You're going to get, so for people that are on the 3XL, at $350, it's like, oh, I'm going to get a little bit better processor performance. I'm going to get twice the memory of this base model 3XL. I'm going to get rid of the bathtub up top.
Yeah.
You know, like,
the only
drawback would be is if they end up coming out with this thing, because there's been nothing leak of an XL version. Nothing.
No.
Contrary,
I think everybody's
saying that it's not.
Yeah, everybody's just kind of decided it's not a thing. So the only downside I could see is, you know, go over there and pick that Pixel 4 up we've got sitting there. It's like, whoa, you're little.
Yeah.
You're so dainty.
Which is crazy. Like, we've just gotten so used to these.
5.4-inch screen or 5.8-inch screen feels dainty.
Small. Yeah.
Let's be fair, though. Aspect ratios aren't what they used to be.
Yeah.
Screens used to be more square. So that 5.3 would have gone a lot farther as far as screen real estate. But anyway. Yeah, I it's just going to be interesting for yeah. sure when and, this comes and, out and how the, they position the five after
yeah, and
that.
If the five, ends up being like a, does the five end up being a $600-$700 phone maybe? And that's where they kind of position it. I don't know. I think it's going to be a natural, potentially a natural upgrade for a lot of people like me who didn't want to switch to the four, didn't see the value of it, didn't think it was worth the upgrade. So now I've been using the 3XL for, gosh, a year and a half now, and I'm waiting for this new phone. I was really, really hopeful that it would get launched in May because the 3A that was wildly popular, probably the best-selling phone that Google's ever had, was launched at I.O. 19 last year, which was early May. And so I.O. this year, as we all know, has been canceled due to, you know, coronavirus and the pandemic that we are in. And so they've even canceled all their virtual events and everything. Like, it's just not happening. And so I was maybe hoping that it would just be a blog post type thing and it would just show up or they would do like a video, like kind of like how they've done with some of these like Stadia Connect things or something. But it just hasn't shown up. And then last week there was, I don't know how to say it. I'm going to mess up the name. It's a German publication, Chashki's blog.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chashki's blog.
Chashki sounds good.
Yeah, sure. They have leaked some things in the past and got some information from Vodafone overseas, obviously. Pretty closely predicted the 3A launch and a couple other things. And so there was some information that came out about Vodafone updating their expected delivery date to June 5th. And the folks over at that blog paired that with, hey, there's also a new event that's popped up pretty recently. This Android 11 beta show is what they're calling it, which I don't know that they've ever done before. I can't remember if they've ever done a beta launch
like
party,
no.
Which I think that's just normally I.O., so maybe this is kind of an event that they're...
I would assume we're going to see more
they
of this
do,
stuff.
They did like Android launches in the past. You remember that one for Android?
Yes.
Was that Nougat? It was the super.
That was Oreo.
Oreo, yeah.
Is it New York or something?
That was
down by the river.
It was in the garden at in Mountain View, wasn't it?
Okay, I don't know. I just remember it
being, in Mountain View, they have the statues of each of the different versions of Android out just in.
It was super weird.
Yeah,
and it was like 5 minutes long. They didn't talk. They didn't discuss it at all. They're just like, "Hey, look, here's the thing. Android O is land because Android O was a big deal. It was a lot of huge stuff. But then it was like this flying Oreo Android character, and then it was like it was over.
It was great.
Maybe they're gonna do that. Be like, hey, here's the new phone. Well,
and they don't even have characters anymore for them.
No. I know. Yeah. No more dessert names. So Android 11. They're doing this launch event, and they put out a teaser, which I said in my article. I take this with a grain of salt, and I'm not gonna get my hopes up because Google also for the Pixel, that was the Pixel 3 launch, right?
Correct.
In we were sitting in New York City in our hotel room. You think you know? Wait until tomorrow to see for yourself. So blah blah.
In the event anyone's forgotten, that phone leaked. It was bad.
It was the cab phone. Wasn't it?
It was exactly
the phone in the cab.
No, that was that was the iPhone 4.
That was iPhone. Yeah,
that was huge. That was a big deal.
It leaked everywhere, and so they did that whole marketing ploy. I don't know what in the heck that was, but. So they put out a little
teaser.
Because
remember, they reached out to YouTubers. Can we use your stuff? We want to put this thing together. We're like, oh my God.
And it was hey, it leaked. Funny. And then they just like moved on. And it was at the very beginning of the event. And everyone was just like,
we're like, deflated. Oh, you think you know?
It was so deflated. It deflated the rest of the event was just like, had the sour look on their face.
Yeah, because why would you put that together then show everybody the exact thing that has leaked?
Right, and then glossed over it and didn't even acknowledge what you had said. And everyone's just like, wait, it's like you're waiting for the punchline and it never happens.
It was so cringy.
It was awful.
Everybody's just looking like, well, I guess they're just not going to talk about it. So
fast forward now, and they put out this video for this, I forget what they're calling it, the beta launch show, I think is what they're calling it, on June 3rd, and it has, hey, we're going to be talking about productivity and this and this and this and some other stuff we're not ready to talk about yet. And then the dude whispers, I hope that doesn't leak or something like that. And
I mean, they're being cheeky.
They're being cheeky. And it's like, all right, obviously phones are the primary thing that leaks when you're talking about quote unquote leaks.
Right.
So are you hinting at a phone? And it would make sense that, you know, the 3A was announced at a developer conference, I.O., so the 4A would get announced at this developer show thing.
If they wait to announce it at this thing, I hope that they're like, hey, here it is. You already know about it. But here, we'll do our normal announcement thing. Here it is. Everybody sees it. You can buy it right now.
Exactly.
Like, yes. Do not show up and then be like, it's available in three weeks.
The Vodafone expected delivery is June 5th. So, yeah. I mean, it would make sense that it will be available to purchase that day.
Because we've seen leaks of the packaging. Or, like, the thing is ready to go.
There were some people online that were saying, well, that's international and blah, 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 this. And I think it was the guys over at 9to5. I can't remember if it's 9to5 or Android Police. Somebody pointed out that the Pixel phones internationally launch exactly the same as the
it's
US.
One day. Yeah, it's the US.
So there is no separate stuff. So the fact that this is Vodafone Germany doesn't matter. I think that it will be available on June 3rd. I don't know. There's part of me that wants to get it. If it's over at Timo or wherever, I want to go hold it because I'm just afraid it's going to be too small.
That's what the Robbie will buy. Don't worry about it.
I might be at the window because I was going to keep the Asus phone.
Robbie
and then
swap
my Pixel for that one and just sort of have it. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Between now and then, everything could change.
Hey,
but
well,
Have you played PUBG on that yet? Huh?
Have you played PUBG?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you go get that last night or this morning?
Afternoon.
Okay.
You roasted coffee and went and got a new phone?
Man.
Yeah, man. And put out a video article.
Wow.
That's my boy. All right, folks. Hey,
that's the
podcast for you right there, I guess, folks. What we were talking about, we just like
We
hit one of our points.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We have our Jimmy John's order placed. It is Freaky Fast Friday.
So if he comes,
so we're going to have a special guest here in just a few minutes.
And he's going to have sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then we'll
we all try to eat healthy, and the Undwich over at Jimmy John's is a go-to.
Yeah, so if you're a carb counting person,
throw it on a low carb wrap.
La Banderita.
Yeah. La Banderita's.
Their low carb wraps are the absolute best. And you can get the white ones. They taste like a regular flour wrap.
Just right.
45 calories. Yep.
Four carbs. They bake up great. They're great for quesadillas.
Yep. Made a quesadilla the other night.
This podcast is not sponsored by Jimmy John's or La Banderita, but it is brought to you by them because without them, we wouldn't be here.
But you drop your Unwich in one of those bad boys.
And if you're into whole wheat, they have a low carb whole wheat one now, too.
It's like a 7-grain, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about the duet. Let's talk about the duet.
So I'm hungry now. So
yeah, I know, right?
Duet's a tablet. Yeah, it's got a thing. I think the food's here.
Robbie,
can you plug it up to an external monitor?
Stop.
Oh, sorry.
Don't prod him. Hey, I think there is something to be said about this device because, like, we were so stoked about getting this thing in, and it was just isn't it funny how one little thing that we were maybe, I think we knew that this was maybe going to happen because of the Tenny having the same issue. And so
I was ignorantly
Joe used to work for a PR kind of company because he's trying to find a PC way to say this.
Yeah. It doesn't have high res display.
I don't want a dog. I love Lenovo, and I don't want to dog them. That's just I just wish they would fix it on their part. Weird.
Well, here's in the event that you haven't been by the website this week,
you've shifted your opinion a little bit based on some of the comments and stuff, right? I mean, it's
this has been a weird review process for me because, as everyone should know by now, I'm a Chromebook guy. Have been for a long time, and even a convertible that goes into tablet mode, you use that every once in a while, jot some notes, throw it in that to watch a movie or whatever, you know. Or, you know, I've had times when been in a meeting or something where it's beneficial to flip it around that way to show people stuff. Yeah. You know, like there's some stuff where tablet mode's fine, but my use cases for the most part have shifted completely away from messing around with tablets. And I've said this on here, I've said it in videos, I've said it all over the place. I have an iPad. I literally use it to play Fortnite with my kids and PUBG. I used to play PUBG on it all the time. I've kind of shifted to a phone now for that. That is it. I don't open Chrome on it.
Yeah.
I don't do anything else on it. I've put some stuff on there in case I ever had to. I don't open those things. Like, I opened up Chrome on it the other day to check something, to see how something was rendering on the website. There were tabs in there that were open from months ago. I think 6-7 months yeah. ago that were still, I guess, cached in there.
Wow.
I'm not joking. I don't use it for anything. I don't pull it out and, you know, watch shows on it or watch some videos or use it to cast stuff because my phone's in my pocket. So exactly. I sit down and go, oh, you know, I want to watch TV. Pull it out, cast YouTube TV. Like, so my use case is so weird when it comes to tablets, and this device, specifically because of its particular shortcoming, needs to be reviewed that way. So it's taken me a few days and writing a couple articles and seeing the feedback. Like the one I wrote about, you know, if you're buying this for it to be a Chromebook replacer, like, ooh, I can have a tablet and a Chromebook replacer, you need to know that for right now, at this moment, if you can find one, you get the thing in and you want to extend it to like your portable monitor you have or your desktop monitor or something like that to be more productive. It's just not going to work. I mean, it does output a signal. The signal goes out, but it's capped at 1440 by 900, which literally not one person I can think of has ever owned a monitor with that resolution on it.
Yeah.
So that's a pointless resolution. So then it drops down to 1280 by 720 for the majority of 16 by 9 monitors, regardless of its resolution.
So, and that's the thing. The people have followed up. There's a Facebook group for Chromebooks that they've been showing that they're getting 1920. And yes, it is possible. 1080p is possible at 30 hertz.
Right.
Not a lot of monitor. My monitor won't do 30 hertz.
Most monitors won't even
accept it. There are some that you can force to 30 hertz. A lot of people are getting this resolution on televisions where you can adjust that or whatever. I can't get it to work on my monitor. My monitor's nothing special. It's the average 24-inch monitor that you'd go 27, whatever it is. You'd go to Best Buy and purchase. The average monitor you have sitting around your home is not going to get its native resolution using this device. And that's where the problem is.
So how is it doing 1080 on those, even though Lenovo said the output is the weird 1440?
And that's why there's
scaling up or something?
Well, no, there's inconsistencies here because there's stuff about the chip in general, the P60, not the P60T. So the chip that's inside this has been on phones and stuff, and there's some marketing material that says max output 1440 by 900, but then its max resolution is different. And none of that lines up already without what we were just talking about, because with this one, my thought was, hey, worst case scenario, I'll plug the thing in, I'll close the quote-unquote lid, so, you know, shut the internal display off, because I couldn't get the 10E to do that.
Right.
With Chromebooks, if you turn the display all the way down, it will, in fact, behave as if the lid is shut. The 10E would not do that. It wouldn't go all the way to zero. Sure. So when this came in, I was like, okay, output's not working, so let me close the lid.
And that should
because it
just
clearly can output 1080p. The screen on the device is 1080p
exactly.
plus. And no, that wouldn't work either. And so it has the ability, obviously, to push those pixels out through the USB-C port. That obviously, because it's pushing it at 30 hertz if the monitor will accept it. If you've never worked on a monitor at 30 hertz, It's
not good.
Most people don't realize that they're getting 60 frames a second on their phones, on their tablets, on their televisions.
Right.
I mean, even the cheapest cheap television now is 60 hertz.
Yeah, and there's a reason why 60 hertz televisions only cost like $150. They are the cheapest of the cheap.
That's like the baseline.
Most of your nicer televisions you go out and buy, they're going to be 120.
Yep. Right.
You know, so.
And I don't think you necessarily need that for everything, but you're seeing like smartphones move over to 90 hertz refresh screens and 120 hertz, and it is this massive noticeable difference when you go back to 60. It's like, ooh, God. And 60 used to be like Apple was one of the first companies that put 60 hertz displays in their mobile products, and you just saw it. Like, there's this difference, and people didn't even know what it was.
Flowy,
but yeah, having a UI that takes advantage of 60 hertz, most people don't realize, like, Windows and Mac OS and Chrome OS have done 60 hertz for, I mean, just years. And so your eyes are completely used to seeing your mouse move around, seeing your windows move around on screen at 60 frames per second. That's what they're used to seeing.
Right.
The minute you jump down to 30 and start navigating UI, you're going to think something's wrong or off. And technically, it kind of is. Like, your operating system shouldn't be at 30 hertz. I mean, 60 is the baseline for computing and has been for a long, long time. So, like, saying that it does 1080p at 30 hertz, that's not really an answer. Plus, like you were saying, most monitors won't even accept that. They're just like, nah, I'll do whatever you can do at 60 hertz, little buddy.
Right.
You know, I'm not taking 30 or 24 frames a second. Like, we're not watching a movie here. We're trying to use a user interface. So that's just not an applicable thing. And the silver lining here is I put a bug up with the 10e when we were testing it. And a handful of people started. I reached out to some people we know in the Googler community. Nothing really happened with it, and it was just sitting there. Well, I put this article out, and it's got, I don't know how many comments on it, and, you know, it garnered a lot of traffic, and, you know, people are going back and forth deciding whether or not this is a flaw, and the comments in this have helped me even with my review process, because there's a ton of people saying, like, look, I didn't purchase mine with the thought I was going to extend the display and try to do any real work with it. I just want it instead of that, you know, Kindle Fire tablet I was looking at, or that other cheap Android, whatever, you know, fill in the blank, you know, because I'm like, well, if I need to, I can jump in a desktop version of Chrome and do a few things. But ultimately, I'm going to use this as a tablet. And so I'm like, that means I need to review this as a tablet. Yeah. That's proving to be way more difficult for me personally than I anticipated, because I don't use tablets. Yeah. So it's not like I have these use cases I can just substitute it in for. I don't have them. And so unless I'm like,
well, because our phones have gotten so big and so useful that, like, you can read a book on your phone.
I read tons of books on my phone. Like, that's the way I read books now. Yeah. It's the way I consume news. It's the way I watch a lot of videos. And so I'm having to force myself to pick this up and use it in place of those things, which feels abnormal. But I'm trying to do it because it feels like there's at least a segment of the review that needs to be focused on it as just a tablet.
Maybe we should let our kids use it for a few days.
My kids use tablets all the time. My daughter loves this thing. So
the one that
I bought will stay at our house. It's going to kind of be the floating.
Because
if I buy one for her, then
you got to get one for the other one.
Yeah, that's what I fear. I ordered a 10e for my kids, but I got a feeling I'm going to be buying another one pretty soon.
And it plays Roblox really well. It plays a lot of Android games really well. Mm-hmm. So that's very helpful from the tablet perspective. Like, I jumped into some games of Call of Duty Mobile on this, and it that's an intensive game.
Yeah,
it runs it really well. Kudos to those guys though. Whatever they've done to program that game and write that game, it is so clean.
Yeah.
It's saucy.
Like, the fact that it can run on this chipset well is impressive. Anyway, that's part of what's come from these comments. Like, it's like, yeah, I need to shift the way that I'm looking at this. I'm not going to look at it as a Chromebook first and foremost and a tablet second. It's a tablet first and a Chromebook when you need it. And that's fine for a lot of people. That is not fine for me at all. Like, that's not, I wouldn't buy this. If they don't fix this issue, like, this isn't something I would want to be carrying around with me all the time.
Right. And that's a shame.
I'm not going to be like, oh, I've been looking for a tablet, because I've not been.
Right. That's the thing. And Lenovo has pointed out that's what this was designed for,
right,
to be a tablet first. And that's great for what they designed it for. I think they did a great job.
Yeah, because there's so many things I like about
it. It's a shame because there are many people in this world, us including, that pretty much live in a web-based
Yep.
all the time. I don't need Android apps. I don't need Linux apps. I only use them because I work on them for the website. But if we were just doing what we used to do, which is web design, and we do everything in cloud-based, whatever, if this device would plug up to a monitor and output a full resolution, you would never need anything other than this.
No, because
that's a shame that it won't do that.
I worked on it this morning and used it as a Chromebook, so I wanted to do that. You know,
he's got a Soylent box on his desk. I need the box. Using it as a monitor stand.
I didn't want to crane my neck all the way down. Because I mean, a 10-inch screen down on my desk. I mean, you're looking down all morning. I didn't want to do that. So I needed to get the display up so I can just at least look straight at it. I got it up off the desk and plugged in an external mouse and keyboard. And performance-wise,
yeah.
It was great.
The performance is there.
Yeah. Like I'm using it, you know, at night, like 75% brightness. Yeah. Like I'm not gonna hunker down on the brightness. I'm gonna use it the way I want to use it. Tracking for like 9 hours.
And I used it for two straight hours. With a 400 nit screen, and it's still getting great battery life.
Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous looking device. It feels great in the hand.
Yeah.
It comes with a keyboard. The price is ridiculously low. Like there's so many great things about it. And here's the silver lining with this whole output thing, because I do feel like it gimps it. You know, as a Chromebook, like it just doesn't have all of the features it should. But that bug that I was talking about, now it has, I think, over 100 stars. So there's
129.
Yeah, it went from 8 on Monday or Tuesday this week to now it has 129 stars. That just means people are following it. You can't really manipulate stuff to happen in Chrome. We tried that once.
But there's a lot of people looking at it, though.
We got like 400 stars on a thing that I kind of wanted to see in tablet mode, and it never happened. We got chastised in the comments by one of the developers. Like, you shouldn't use this to manipulate. And you can't really. It doesn't matter how many stars something gets. It doesn't change anything. It just gets more people's attention on it. Anyway, and I made that clear in the article. I'm like, I'm not trying to manipulate anything. I'm just saying I put this in there before I said anything about it.
Sure.
You know, if you want to add your vote to, hey, I think this is a cool thing too.
Yeah, go let them know.
Then do that. Well, now there's, I don't know, 7-8 developers tagged on it, and some big name guys. Not big name guys probably to most people, but when I see their names, I'm
to
like
us, yeah.
Like, all right, and because here's the deal: if this device is capable of doing that, and it's something that's just a simple firmware update or some sort of simple fix, obviously there's not going to be a hardware fix for it. If there's a software update that will add this feature, they need to do it. And I think they may be trying to figure it out.
And it just opens the door to a whole nother use case. And I understand that they made it as a tablet.
Right.
But man, how many times on this podcast did we talk about having that one device where I can use it at the house, I can use it as my media hub, but then I can sit and work on it just as it's, you know, on its own without a display. But then if I wanted to bring it to the office, I could plug it in and use it here, too.
Yeah, then people complain about it only having one USB-C port. But honestly, my Pixelbook Go, I use one because I have a dock on my desk. It has my card reader in it. It has my USB dongle for my peripherals. It goes to my monitor with the HDMI out. It's powered, so it charges my Chromebook while it's on there. I literally have one plug to mess with every day.
A docked setup.
Yeah.
And right, exactly. A docked setup normally includes a display.
Right. And so this little, kickstand on here, you just flip it out, set it down, plug that little dock in, and boom. You could use the built-in keyboard, and it's fine. We'll talk about that in the review. It's fine. I wouldn't choose it. I wouldn't go, I'm gonna work every day from that, because
it's there when you need it.
But
it's cool that it's there.
It's an on the go kind of thing. Like, hey, I need to just bang something out real quick, or check something, or answer an email or whatever. I will say this thing has caused me to start using the Gmail Android app on Chrome OS. Like, it's actually really nice to triage
laid out nice.
I don't want to sit and answer a ton of emails on this thing anyway, but to be able to just kind of look through and having all those nice swipe features
clean
that Gmail has,
like
swiping, archiving, and all that kind of stuff, that's been really great. I've appreciated that quite a bit.
We don't live in email anyway, though, you know.
No. And when I get in there, whatever makes it a little faster to get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of business people and
and
companies
and
that we've worked for before where everything revolves around email and emails everything. We don't do that.
No.
But the app is dope. The fact that it just lays out nicely, especially in this form factor,
it's
to be able
really,
to swipe around and do stuff.
It's pretty great actually using it on here. But other Android apps aren't, you know, like Google Calendar, I'd still just prefer the web version.
Sure.
Google Calendar's Android app is kind of weird on the bigger screen. It works.
Yeah.
But it And they've taken advantage of the screen. I just don't care for the way they did so. Like, I think you could have a sidebar in there all the time that lets you switch your views or stuff like that.
Why not just use the web app?
And like YouTube.
YouTube's
funky. They kind of force YouTube on you in this, which is a weird move. You can't actually uninstall the YouTube app.
Really?
If you have Android apps on there, I'm probably going to write that up too. But if you have Android apps on... You have to have the YouTube app.
So then is it default? Does it default to it every time you click on a link?
Yeah. You can't even disable it.
Yeah.
And now I think you can, in Chrome, you can tell it stay in Chrome and then remember, but you'll probably have to do that quite a few times.
It's a weird workaround,
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because YouTube on the web is just, it's fine. Like it's not like the touch buttons are so tiny or anything like that. It's fine.
Yeah. Sorry. Is there a Jimmy John's here?
Possibly.
Maybe not. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. No.
So
we're all eagerly waiting.
Where's our food?
So we're hungry. All of that to say, like, if this many developers are on this, they could have one of them could have already spoken and been like, guys, sorry, the baseboard is limited.
Yeah, it won't
you
do
You can't
it.
Do that. Right. It's not possible.
And that's not the case.
But the fact that we've been told, 1440 by 900 is the max, but it also does do 1920 by 1080 at 30 frames. 30 hertz. Yeah. And there's just all these inconsistencies across what can and can't be done with this. It tells me that I don't know how something like this gets overlooked in development. I don't know. I don't know how that happens. But the fact that all these guys that know what they're talking about and know these baseboards are looking at it and they haven't already gone, no, guys, I've actually been asked for more feedback instead. So it tells me that they think there might be a workaround or there might be a fix or might be a change. And the minute that happens, I mean, it changes my perception of this device.
Big time.
And I get the people that are like, I never wanted it for that to begin with.
Then you're good.
Yeah,
go buy
it. Your perception. So that's on me to work on for the review to be able to talk to that portion.
But like, we have to as
but it's
reviewers.
A Chromebook duet.
Yeah, as a reviewer, we have to talk. We have to review this from the perspective of anyone that might want to go buy it.
Right.
And obviously, we are looking at this as a Chromebook. Again, it's in the title. So the one question we've gotten a couple times online, and you hinted at it a second ago, Gabe, when you said there is no hardware fix. You all dug up a transmitter? Is that what that thing's called?
Yeah, it's a MUX. That's what it is. So
nerd stuff. No, just kidding.
Basically, the thing that's responsible, MUXes are responsible basically for switching things. So USB Type-C has all these lines, basically, that can do all sorts of things, you know, sound and charging and video and data transfer and all these things. And so you have USB-Cs that have Thunderbolt capability and capacity. And so there's just all these things. So there has to be something controlling those lines to say, hey, when
this
thing is
here,
plugged in, you two lines take audio, four guys take video, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what a MUX is.
It's a traffic director coordinator.
Right. It's a switcher.
It stands for multiplexer, and it just... tell stuff where to go. That's what it does.
And MUXes are old. Like, I remember my dad in the phone industry back when I was really young, him talking about, like, he worked and all that kind of stuff, and talking about MUXes all the time. I'm like, what the heck is a MUX?
Nerd.
Here I am talking about MUX.
Yeah. It all comes back around.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's all it is. There are a few variants of the Kukui board, which is what these are based on, that are coming, like Jacuzzi, and then it's the ones that come under it, Damu Kappa and Kakadu, that all sit under Jacuzzi as a kind of, they're all still based on Kukui. They're still based on the same MediaTek chip, but they're all getting that
a
literal piece of hardware. It's a
hardware
switcher.
MUX.
And it says that MUX clearly says from, I can't remember the name of the company that makes it, but they have a hardware page that says this is to establish and maintain a 4K 60fps resolution output. Like, so... that little switcher that was left out, clearly we found some other stuff showing it that is not included in Crane and Kadama, which are the 10E and Duet, respectively. And it's,
but there are virtual MUXes too, and if that is a
and there could be a MUX
thing,
in
there
this,
may be, yeah.
Just a different one.
Yeah, or it's just not enabled, because a lot of times these boards will have ports and slots and things on them that it's just easier to leave them in place. They just disable the virtual slot that it's running on. So, who knows?
So for someone who's asking, is there a hardware piece missing?
It's not missing. It just, they chose not to go with that for this board.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, this capability is completely impossible. There's no way they can fix it. Because there has to be some sort of mux there because it does output, a video.
Something, yeah.
Like, go plug a USB Type-C display adapter into your phone. Most phones. This, like, this phone has it. I think your phone has it. But plug into a Pixel phone. Nothing happens.
Right.
Because those, the mux isn't there to say, hey, this got plugged in, send video out this. Like, sure. It's just not set up to do that, either from a software or hardware perspective. That's what would happen if there was nothing handling it. Something's handling it. It's either not handling it as well as it should, or it's handling it exactly the way that they intended to, at which point I would say, if that's all it's going to do, just turn it off. Like, make it like a phone.
What's the point?
Right. Like, if there's a tablet that doesn't support video out,
yeah,
tablet just doesn't support video out. You know, you can put a keyboard on it and use it as a Chromebook. That's the experience. I mean, people bought the Asus Flip 100 and 101. I mean, and it was a 10.1-inch convertible Chromebook, and people just bought it. But that Chromebook and its lower-end chipsets both could output to my monitor when I wanted them to.
Right, and so that's the thing. A lot of people have pushed back on us saying, well, you can if you do this, or you can, and that's fine. If that works for you, if you plug it to your 65-inch television and you're okay,
and output 720p.
Or you're getting 1080 at 30 hertz, whatever. If that works for you, that's great. But I've had my desk set up for 2+ years now. I'm not going to go buy a different monitor or whatever just so I can make this work. I'll just wait for another tablet to come
along
that does
work. Right, for this one device.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, we see wild inconsistencies with Chromebooks across the board. Instead, we see the same behavior all the time. We see the same thing work on every Chromebook that comes out. And I will say, like, when I first got the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook in, before it took that update to 81, its output was jacked up. I couldn't get it past 1080p, and on my monitor, that's not enough. It stretched it out. It was all weird. Like, I couldn't use it in that form. So it tells me that there are some software things that can be done to work around these limitations, and I'm hopeful that if they'll just get it to 1080p 60.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just 60 hertz at 1080p, I think would satisfy anybody who's wanting to use it this way, because
it's there when you need it.
Yeah, and the majority of your USB Type-C, like, travel monitors that you would use in a setup like this are all 1080p anyway. So I completely understand if it's not going to output to my 3440 by 1440 monitor. Like, sure. Mine's weird, and I get it. And sometimes things don't work with my monitor. I'm 100% understanding that. I'm even understanding if you're like, hey, it's low power, nothing above 1080p. Fine.
Yeah.
Just do 1080p 60 and do it without having to buy any extra peripherals. Just, it's a Chromebook.
Plug
for crying
it in
out loud.
And go.
Every other Chromebook works. So don't make this the exception for no good reason. Like, that's the issue. It's like, we've got older versions.
It's not a price thing, right?
No, I mean, and it's not a performance thing either. We've got older versions, the 8173 MediaTek chip that is a predecessor of this that is far less powerful, far less capable. We've got Chromebooks that we've plugged into
my MediaTek Chromebook. I would never work on it. Just the display is horrible.
Terrible.
But to plug it into my monitor and use it, if it was here and I needed to get on.
We plugged it into my huge monitor and it did
just fine.
I mean, you plugged it in, boom, it was there. No, like, ooh, I got to tweak this and change. No, it's a Chromebook.
Yeah.
You know, like, this stuff has been working for years. So when we see a hardware piece that for no reason has a huge regression like this in a certain area, we're going to draw attention to it, because there's, again, that may not be the use case for a lot of people, and that may not even be the reason Lenovo put this tablet out.
Right.
That's fine. But don't nerf something just to nerf it. Like,
There's clearly people out there that are interested in it, because we've written articles and people are chiming in. Like, I mean, we're not alone in this.
You know, and I think about it, because people had mentioned, and we had discussed when this first came up, you know, well, maybe in the classroom environment or this type of environment with the 10E, maybe, you know, that's just not something they would want to do. But for me, in a classroom environment, if I were a teacher, if I had a device that could be their workstation with a 1080p monitor, but then they could grab it and we can go to the STEM lab and do the tablet stuff, wouldn't that be a way bigger advantage than going the other direction? I don't know.
And for no good reason, really. Yeah. I mean, other than it's just not there. So what I'm hearing is that we are hopeful of a resolution. But we don't have any solid evidence. We don't have any other than just some activity in the bug report, there's nothing right now. We haven't had any confirmation from anyone. We haven't heard anything that it's even really being worked on, other than just some feedback that was requested via your bug report.
Yeah, so it's being looked at, clearly. Whether it's being fixed or
whether there's actually work being done, not sure.
And we'll know that. Like, the bug will switch from, because it's still unconfirmed slash open.
Yeah.
When it gets assigned to someone, that means like they're ready to move on it, which is what we're hoping for. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be fixed next week. Probably. Because, I mean, they've got 1,000 other things they're doing too. So they can't just stop everything and fix this one thing. But I would hope Lenovo can put a little pressure on them, but to be just candid, most reviewers aren't even talking about it,
which is interesting.
Not even saying a thing about it.
It's interesting. Like, okay. It's like, obviously we are all in on Chrome OS and we really live the Chrome OS ecosystem, and so maybe we just have a different perspective on this.
I do, and that's kind of what's
fine.
Helped me look at it and be like, that's why this has been difficult for me, because usually you take a Chromebook, I have a dedicated way that I use Chromebooks on a regular basis, just part of my life, it's part of my work, it's part of everything I do, and so I just take one Chromebook and put
swap
it in place,
it
and now that becomes a review thing.
So then
I don't use a tablet ever, now I'm having to force myself to use something that I don't use.
Yeah, which is fun. I like that. I like that this device is something different.
Yeah,
I like that I'm changing your perspective a little bit.
And I'm hoping, and it's not changing my perspective as like, oh, I think I need to start having a tablet around.
No.
It's completely affirmed that I have no use for a tablet.
Right.
Really. But I would like a small Chromebook like this for a handful of things that I can do where, again, if this was powerful enough to drive my desktop setup with no qualms whatsoever, and also could be a tablet when I want to have a tablet around, like that's where I come from, of like saying, I want this to be a daily driver thing, a tablet when I want it to be. Because when I do want a tablet, when I want to do something tablet-ish, like the form factor of this thing's awesome.
So here's a question. Let's say you and the family were going to Chicago tomorrow for a 3-day weekend or something, and you had that or the Galaxy, and you're like, I'm not going to commit to, you know, like, I don't have to work while I'm there, but I want to have something just in case I do want to work, and you can only take one. Which one are you going to take, the Galaxy or that?
Oh, and I have both. Uh-huh. The Galaxy.
Okay.
It's just as light. It's barely, I mean, it's, but by the time I put all the pieces together for this, I think the Galaxy is actually lighter.
Yeah.
Galaxy's thinner as a total package.
Yeah. Once you put the back and the keyboard with this, with the Duet.
Yeah. And so how many times am I going to use the Duet without the keyboard? Very few. Just like, I've tried to show this to my wife a few times. I'm like, hey, you want to mess with this? And she's like, no, I'll just get my Chromebook out. When I want to get on something, a bigger screen, I want a keyboard and stuff with it. I want to be able to set it in my lap, you know? And if not, I'll just be on my phone. Like, it's just become the use case, like light, thin, fast to open, always on, ready to go. Chromebooks are the big screen experience and phones are the small screen experience. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, the only issue, like the only draw would be like if this was where I didn't have to have any other Chromebooks. Right. Like I could just, and I think for a lot of people it could be.
Sure.
For a ton of people that, for what they would use a Chromebook for, this thing could be their one and only Chromebook, and to be able to extend the screen when needed would be nice. So I'm hoping it gets worked out.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Obviously we will keep everyone updated on the website, especially as this, I mean, the bug report right now is the main thing that we're tracking. Lenovo obviously hasn't really given us much. And at this point, they can't really. I mean, this is up to, sounds like, you know, the bug report moving forward is going to be the solution here, potentially.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless they come back and go, not possible.
Right.
And then we'll know. And then it's over. Yeah. And that's just what this is, what this thing is. And we'll know that future one's coming, even though I've kind of uncovered the fact that I think there's only one other tablet being worked on right now. Luckily, it is one that's in that Jacuzzi line, so we know it'll have the output possibilities. It's got a new little keyboard, but it's based off the same firmware as this keyboard. So probably a different take on the same thing, likely. is what it looks like.
Manufacturer?
From a different manufacturer.
Yeah.
No idea.
And this could be the one thing that makes the decision easy for people who are shopping.
For different people,
do you need this? Then yes. If not, maybe, then get the Duet. Because other than that, the Duet's an absolutely more wonderful options. Piece of hardware.
Yeah, more options are great.
Yeah, at the price, like if I'm cool with working for longer periods of time on a smaller display, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. And I know that... That's the difficulty I'm going to have in the review, because I want to be able to state clearly, like, there's so much I love about this. My use cases are weird, and I get that I'm maybe an anomaly for most things. So as a reviewer, I'm trying to take that into consideration. But I'm also just trying to review it and tell you what I think about it.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird mishmash. It feels a little like the Pixel Slate did.
There's something about Chrome OS tablets. Man, I remember the Slate review. Robbie was like conflicted.
I was stressed.
Like,
I was super
conflicted,
stressed.
Conflicted, dude. Like, you were anxious about doing the review. And it turned out fine. It was good. I think you'll be okay. I think we're gonna
it'll work itself out.
We're gonna get through this. We're gonna get through this together.
I will say, the last thing I'll say about the Lenovo is it's, as a tablet, I'm less conflicted about that. Like, I hated the Slate as a tablet.
It's not a good tablet.
Are you looking for a tablet and you like Chrome OS on a tablet better than Android on a tablet, which I know a lot of people do. Man, this thing's great.
It's gonna crush it for that.
That part's great.
Yeah. And if that's what they wanted it to be, they did that. So, yeah. So we'll see. So obviously, we'll keep you guys updated on the website, obviously. Remember at the beginning of this, whenever I was like, hey, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about a couple things today. And we talked about two of the list.
But that's enough.
That's the fun of podcasting. So thank you all so much for tuning in. As always, we're going to link everything. By everything, I mean the two articles that we discussed.
Basically, yeah. That's going to be easy work for me today.
Well, I think we need to link some of the articles, the multiple articles we've written about that, some of the multiple articles we've written about the 4A.
It'll still end up being a decent list.
Yeah, so go check that stuff out if you want to dig into some of the articles that we've written about this. As always, go check out the website, go check out the YouTube channel for more content. So thanks so much for joining us this week, and we'll catch you all next time. See you. Bye. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @chromeunboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.